Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. 18 days till Christmas, 25 days till New Year's, time marches on and nothing can stop it. It marches relentlessly, inevitably, moving even faster as we age. If only we could slow down time or stop it in its tracks. But we can't. But Jesus. Jesus doesn't slow time down. Jesus does something even more remarkable. He reverses it. He shifts everything into backwards. He's, if you will, a backwards moving God. Jesus takes the things the way they are and makes them the way they should be by changing them into what was. The renewal of creation will be and already has been worked by the selfsame Word who made it in the beginning. Jesus is the second Adam, the new man who has come to make you like the first man, only better. He creates the heavenly Jerusalem for you, a Jerusalem very much like the Garden of Eden, only better. He's the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, like the Passover lamb, only better. It's what Isaiah proclaimed from his prophetic pulpit. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah's spirit-filled eye looked up and he sees a mountain raised so high that it dwarfs all other mountains. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills. Every mountain and hill must look up to it. All peoples will be drawn to it. And all the nations shall flow to it. Rivers of nations streaming upward to this peak that scrapes the very sky. Streaming upward. Not even gravity can put the brakes on this motion. In these latter days, everything just kind of goes backwards. And upon this mountain, to which many people have come, weapons of war are remade into tools for sustaining life. There is peace, real peace. Swords become plowshares, spears become pruning hooks, warriors become farmers. In the beginning, Genesis is degenerated. But in the latter days, what has been degenerated by us is regenerated by Him. Not because we will, by our own efforts, bring that about. No, this world and everything in it is headed where it's bound to go. But in the latter days, it will be regenerated because something, or better, someone outside the system once again invades what we can see. All we can do is gaze back through space into time, but do nothing about it. But because the selfsame Word who made everything in the beginning has come in the flesh, nothing stays the same in these latter days. He makes all things new for you. He comes, Jesus does, to make all that was once and is now dead alive again. The world to which He comes stands in desperate need of His arrival. This globe on which we live is in fact dead on His arrival. Dying to live, but dead just the same. Scratch the surface of its verdant green pastures and its Pacific oceans, and you'll discover something very different. And its most telling sign of disaster is this. The world is pitted with graves. It's tattooed with tombstones. The whole place really ultimately reeks of death. We try putting makeup on it. We try to clean up its environment, patch up its divisions, mend where it's been ripped apart. But vanity of vanities, it just doesn't work. Why? Because even before we were born, we waved goodbye to innocence. At our conception, we began that downward slide. And as soon as we took our first steps, we began staggering toward the edge of our waiting grave. But the world doesn't want to hear that. I mean, who really does? Most hours of most days, the world lives in a delusion of make-believe and denial. It has to, otherwise the depression would overwhelm it. The world pretends it just isn't so, and pretend sells. Disneyland and Carnival Cruise Lines, Saturday Night Live and all of Hollywood's comedy, vacations abroad, even slipping away to warm, sunny Baja. But they're only a momentary distraction, barely concealing the reality of our impending destruction. It does the world no good to deny it. In fact, only in confessing it, only in saying back to God what God has already said about us, only from that can good arise. But confession is hard. Having scales we've trusted to insulate us from the truth, pride from our flesh is painful. Confessing it is so hard, in fact, it will just kill you. But owning up to the truth and having a change of mind about all that we have embraced that has only brought us death, in that repentance, good news comes. The good news of another's death by which we are blessed, because it was the only way we could be saved from ourselves. This crucified, dead, buried, and raised one comes to us. We who cannot even begin to crawl to him, he comes to you, and by his death and resurrection, he puts everything about you in reverse. He forgives that which has guilted you. He erases the lies and instills his truth. He undoes your shame and uplifts us with joy. He even destroys our death and covers us with a new life in his name. He's the backwards God. It means, says Aslan in Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backward. He's the backwards God, and he's ready, willing, and able to take you back. And not only back to himself as an adopted child, he's so willing and so able, in fact, that he will take you back to a place you've never been before, all the way back to innocence and perfection. In fact, he already has. It's a done deal. A deal done for you. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. In the middle of old Jerusalem, there was a temple where God dwelt among his people. And in the midst of the temple, there was a holy tabernacle. But in this new Zion, built on this high mountain, in this new Jerusalem, we find no temple made of wood and stone. Rather, we find the Word become flesh who tabernacled among us. Our temple, our center of worship, is no longer a building, but a baby who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again, Jesus said. And death took the challenge and killed the Lord of glory. But from his punctured hands and feet and from his spear-split side, a baptismal river of life flows. And you were washed in that river, swept along by the raging floodwaters of the font, and carried into the house of the God of Jacob. This isn't just poetry, pretend, fantasy, imagination, but reality. Here all the wretchedness of our sin vanishes. Here we have been declared righteous, adopted, forgiven. Gone are the lies of the devil, the world, and all the lies that we've been telling ourselves. And in their place is truth, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth is that God's heart is fixed on you. He wants you. You are the apple of his eye, his blessed child. Now, we can't see any of that with the eyes in the fronts of our heads. Everything about life in this dying world seems so backwards to this proclamation. And until the last trumpet sounds, men with blood in their eyes will haunt this world. Bombs will explode, bullets will penetrate, plowshares will be beat into swords and pruning hooks into spears, all in search of some sort of nebulous peace. But it will not find peace in this, because real peace, lasting peace, Christmas peace, isn't between man and man. It's the peace that comes down from heaven, the Prince of Peace. It's the peace that was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And in that peace, there's reconciliation between God and man. And with that, in him, everything shifts into reverse. Paradise is regained. Eden regenerated. Our sin traded in for righteousness. Our guilt replaced by innocence. Our mortality swallowed up by immortality. For all this, Jesus came. All this he did because he wanted you. And now he has you, and he will never let you go. Behold, the time is at hand. Your king is coming to you. And there's only one thing left to pray, and that is, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We rise and join together in singing the canticle on page 231.